showtime. Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansom. We're joined by my dawducer, Sam.
Hello.
Now, I say this every day. Am I plagiarizing myself because I repeat it?
I think that when it's you saying it, that it's okay.
It's okay. All right. Don't you say it. Thank you to Tom Bernard, the Tom Bernard Network, for inviting us to be part of the network over a year ago. It's actually a year and a week today, our anniversary. Thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, MyPillow, Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brand Homes, and Frontiersman. Walk in, mention the BS Show, get 5% off a used gun. We are joined today by Kevin Cusick of the Pioneer Press, business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, Jim Rich, who may or may not be a hero, will join us because he blew us off yesterday. Then he sent me something. He helped some kids who got capsized in a boat in a lake in Buffalo. So we'll get that story from him. Psychic Ruth Lorden will also be joining us. And my reference earlier, we were talking about the whole Melania Trump thing is not going away about the plagiarizing. Meantime, you have a vice president who plagiarized, took an entire couple of speeches from Niall Kinnock in Great Britain. The president took parts of speeches from Deval Patrick, the Massachusetts governor. He claimed, though, that they're buddies, so it's okay, and that they agreed that each can steal from each other. And I believe I have not seen what it was, but someone posted something, and again, you have to be wary when it's on social media, that Michelle Obama had stolen from Eleanor Roosevelt or plagiarized something she said. And Newt Gingrich had a good line. He said, "So does that mean it's plagiarizing if I end my speech with 'God bless the United States of America'?"
Eleanor Roosevelt, lifting from Eleanor Roosevelt. There's only one presidential candidate now who claims she conversed with the ghost of Eleanor Roosevelt.
That's right.
You know, back way years ago when she was the first lady.
That was Hillary Clinton.
That was right. Absolutely. Oh,
so if anyone has a right to steal from Eleanor Roosevelt, it would be Hillary Clinton. I wonder if Trump's going to bring that up. So you talked to Eleanor lately.
Hillary Clinton of the rapidly shrinking lead in the polls, and in some cases disappeared lead.
Well, I think the Drudge Report has her maybe up by a hair. And you know what? But it's expected. He should be getting, he being Trump, a big boost off of the convention. Then it'll go back to her after her convention. And she's not going to waste any time trying to steal thunder from him with his vice presidential.
Yeah, but she lost a lot of ground. The Reuters poll that had her up like 13 or 14 points just a week and a half ago has it down to 3. On Reuters. Now, there's two things going on. There's like world events or whatever, but also pollsters are adjusting their sampling, you know, to more accurately represent what's going to be, you know, the electorate. I mean, one of the CBS polls about a week and a half ago that had Hillary up 7 points oversampled. Normally, you'd be easy to see if you sample more Democrats and Republicans, yeah. But you can't do that now because of so many. So what they do is oversample Obama voters. And this CBS poll oversampled Obama voters over Romney voters by 10%. And that's the kind of playing with polls to get a specific
really
result that
polls.
You see less of as you go forward. The polls, they put out polls to make news in the early season. Toward the end, they're trying to be as accurate as possible.
Because then they have no credibility.
Yeah,
then.
So that's why this is part of the reason the Hillary lead is disappearing. I also think the world events.
Absolutely.
It is just with every terrorist attack is like a glaring.
I would add with every terrorist attack and with every police shooting.
Yes.
You know, I said from the beginning of this campaign when how to explain the Trump phenomenon, I said this is 1968 all over again. Richard Nixon ran on law and order. It was unrest in the country. People felt unsafe, unsure. And here's this guy who, you know.
And on that account, things are much worse now because now you have the whole genre of cop assassinations that you didn't have on this level back in the in the 60s. And the thing is, you know, we micro-analyze, you know, killers in some cases. In others, we kind of, you know, don't look as closely. The killer in Dallas was a member of the New Black Panther Party. You've heard almost no mention of that. The killer in Baton Rouge was a member of the Nation of Islam. Okay? Just to play devil's advocate, could you imagine if someone killed cops who was a member of the NRA? you would never hear the end of it. But the racial aspect of the fact that these were racial attacks on cops, even though some of the cop victims were, you know, were minorities, just kind of being downplayed a little bit in the interests of not,
you know what,
exacerbating racial tensions.
Now I know you do a blog, Jeff, but Kevin and I have been in the media for decades between the two of us. I worked at the Associated Press.
Almost a century, actually.
Well, it's been a while. Yeah, it's. But I'm embarrassed by the Associated Press, and it goes back to a story I read, and I called a friend of mine who works for the AP and said, this is wrong. Last week, they wrote a story about Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, and it said both were killed by white men. And I said, I called him, and I said, that's wrong. It was, I mean, Castile, he was shot by an Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And the response I got, because he was with someone else from the AP, is the Associated Press policy is Hispanics, apparently, there's something in the census where they're viewed as white, according to him. So they call them white because the census does not break it down. You know, there's and I just find that absurd.
Remember the Trayvon Martin case? George Zimmerman, who's a real scum, regardless of anything else, was a white Hispanic. Mm-hmm. He was mentioned constantly because, again, they're wanting to play up the black-white angle. They want to make it seem like every questionable case of cop behavior is a white cop against a black man.
Well,
not the case.
Now, what's interesting is I'd mentioned this at the end of Tom's show. I wanted to talk to both of you about this. The difference between and I don't know all the DNC speakers, but the RNC versus DNC. The RNC had, they had Pat Smith, the mother of Sean Smith, who was killed in Benghazi. They had, this guy is like he's a rock star, this, the sheriff in Milwaukee County.
Mm-hmm. Clark.
He is just, I mean, he makes so much sense and people love hearing him speak. Now, I don't know the entire roster. What's that? Yeah. He's been impressive. But the DNC, one of the speakers is going to be Michael Brown's mother. Michael Brown was the African American who basically his death was what started Black Lives Matters in Ferguson. But he has been found, or the,
with a fictional story.
Yes, a fictional story. There was no hands up, that whole thing. Hands up, don't shoot it. That was fictional. Five African Americans testified that he tried reaching for an officer's gun, which he put himself in
his handprints were on the gun. His fingerprints were on the gun.
Well, but a lot of people, what narrative is she going to get? It's terrible anytime a mother loses a child. That's absolutely horrible.
But the Democratic convention is going to be purely about driving up turnout because they have to get young voters to turn out. Other minority voters to turn out at the record levels they did in 2008 and to a lesser extent in 2012. If Hillary Clinton cannot get anywhere near that turnout, and there's nothing to suggest she will because she's not the most scintillating candidate on the planet, she's in huge trouble because the Trump voters are going to come out.
That's a good point. You know, the thing is, to put it a different way, is the goal of the convention is to get the Obama voting bloc to come out for Hillary when they otherwise would be, you know, inclined to stay home or vote for some third party candidate.
And pout over a Bernie.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing exciting about, to me anyway. I mean, I wasn't that excited about Pence being named, but I'm not excited about whether it's Tim Kaine. Is it Tim Kaine or Tom Vilsack?
That's
who
what they say.
Apparently are the two finalists for Hillary.
Allegedly, yeah.
But nothing about either one of those is very exciting.
Well, Tim Kaine's in a swing state.
Virginia.
When every time you hear about Tim Kaine is that, well, he's won in what was a purple state, and it's a swing state again. But the Pence, though, the one good thing for the Pence thing is it gives life to what I'm starting, the hashtag, the Trump then dump movement. And it's people who, you know, hold their nose, vote for Trump in the hope that if he does something really stupid his first days in office, the two parties can finally agree on something and get rid of him and have a plausible vice president there in Mike Pence.
You know, it's
Trump then dump.
What is amusing to me is that you've got the Democrats hate Trump because they see him, you know, they don't want him to get the White House, obviously. But
Democratic establishment.
Pardon me?
The establishment.
Established, okay. But now you got tonight, you're going to have some speakers tonight who want to run for president. Marco Rubio is going to be filmed. He's going to wind up being taped. And Lion Ted, Ted Cruz,
Lion's Head.
He's going to be speaking live at the convention. But guys like that and Paul Ryan, they must be dumping bricks or pooping out bricks, because the speech that Donald Trump Jr. gave, there are people, Frank Luntz, who, you know, he does a lot of this polling, he had like 17 or 15 independents, and they all overwhelmingly love this guy and think he's got a future in politics. I mean, people are now saying there could be a Trump dynasty. His son comes off a lot better than he does. So, I mean, if you're one part of the establishment,
lot,
thinking you're going to line yourself
up. A lot of the
up,
oxygen left my head there as you said that. Just go.
Well, did you
woozy.
Hear? Did you hear Trump Jr.?
Yeah, I listened to it.
I thought he came off very well.
That was, I think, of the whole group so far, that's probably the most orthodox conservative Republican, you know, speech that there's been there, mm-hmm. articulating what, you know, what the party believes in. You know,
even more
about,
so than speeches in the past couple of conventions.
Yeah, I mean, talking about, you know, the issues of education, and he put the onus back on the Democrats for, you know. You know, for what, you know, what they've created, a system where, you know, regulation where big business can afford it, small businesses can't. And so, you know, he took it right on. He said, you know, income inequality. He said, yeah, we have income inequality in this country. They're right, but they caused it with their policies. And that's the kind of thing that Republicans used to do back in, you know, say 20 years ago when Newt Gingrich was the speaker, is you would, you know, you wouldn't necessarily disagree with the premise the Democrats were coming at. Say, yeah, I agree. And they're the reason for it, and here's why. And that's what – so that it was refreshing to me to hear that, because that's why.
It's also harder to keep hammering home the cartoon aspects of Trump when the American people start getting familiar with the family and see, well, actually, the family's kind of normal, actually, or much more normal than you would expect.
From Trump. Even the daughter that's Marla Maples' kid, who, by the way, I don't think she's had work done, but she just looked like a little – you know, like she was – we're trying to resemble some doll you can buy at Target.
The human Barbie or something?
Yes. But, I mean, she came off good, too. She didn't make any too many – well, she didn't make any mistakes.
And everyone says the most impressive of the kids by far in terms of stature and whatever, how carrying herself, is Ivanka.
And she's the one who's introducing her dad tomorrow
night. The one who's going to be, like, in the cabinet somewhere. Now, she's going to be the Bobby Kennedy.
What's interesting is yesterday – and a lot of people are talking about – I thought it was highly amusing – Chris Christie's speech, where he put it to the crowd of guilty or not guilty on all the, you know, the things. He went down the list of things about Hillary Clinton, but nobody's talking about Paul Ryan's speech. It's lost, because he just tried putting pretty words together, and no one believes it.
I saw some kind of poll, I forget which polling outfit did it, about of the speakers last night, which one went over the warmest reception. Of course, Junior was number one, but Paul Ryan was about 3%. I mean, it just was.
Nobody cared.
He's just happy they left the mic on.
plus, he was advocating for the election of Donald Day Trump instead of Donald J. Trump. So some guy named Donald Day Trump someplace in the country is surprised to be finding out that he's.
He went with Donald Day Trump?
He said Donald Day Trump.
Oh, my God. You don't even know who your own, you know, candidate is in your party.
Yeah. Ryan's got a lot on his mind because he's getting attacked or challenged on his right in Janesville for his own House seat.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to believe he's not going to get that.
He has a much safer hold on the House speakership than he does on his own seat. I mean, he conceivably could lose. I think he'll end up
winning.
Well,
if he loses, he can't stay as House Speaker.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he has no challengers within the Republican Party for speakership, but he does in his own town.
He's not going to lose that. They don't want to. The people there will realize, wait a minute, we've got the Speaker of the House. We want to keep that. It makes them look good.
But it just goes to show you the times we are in now, that the voters, it's a pox on both their houses. And throw out all the babies with the bathwater.
It's incredible. You know, let's take a quick break, and I want to talk about something that I know Kevin is near and dear to you. Certainly lighter than all this political
calzones?
Talk. By the way, Sam, was it for Father's Day you gave me the pizza book?
Yes,
I've been reading it more. I love that. It's a book about pizza, the history of pizza,
and. Picture book?
What I did not know, a lot of pictures, but I didn't know that, see, I always assumed like the big Italian restaurants, they were using all whole milk mozzarella. There's a split there between that and the part skim. And I didn't realize a lot of places, these high-ender ones, are getting the, it's buffalo.
Buffalo, absolutely.
Mozzarella.
That's one of the things, I think Punch makes it a point Or one of the more artisan pizzas. They always tell you that you're getting buffalo.
See, I don't go to the highbrow joints. Buffalo mozzarella.
What does that mean?
It's from Italy. Buffalo.
It's
the milk from buffalo.
It's buffalo.
Buffalo
milk?
Mozzarella.
No, it's
mozzarella from buffalo.
It's not from Italy, unless the buffaloes happen to be in Italy.
No, they are. They've been importing a lot from.
Oh,
that seems like an unnecessary
mozzarella.
I think the important part is where it's coming from internally.
Buffalo,
it's coming from a buffalo.
Buffalo are definitely not native to Italy.
They got them though. They got one buffalo there that makes a lot of cheese,
and I'm pretty sure it's a higher fat content, higher creamy.
It sounds delicious.
I've never had anything purely with buffalo mozzarella.
Well, we're going to have to find a place here that has it. Have to call our friends at the pizzerias around the town. Well, but let's take a quick break. And, you're going to hear from Branchon Bryant. They will get justice for the injured. It doesn't cost you anything. They don't get anything unless you do. If you have an issue with an insurance issue of any type, you want to get in touch with Bradshaw and Bryant, MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Also, SmartStartMN.com. If you need an ignition interlock system, they help write the laws in the state. I know anyone with a DUI, or if you wanted to have one installed, they'll come to you. It is a great place, and Ed Cohen's on with us every Thursday. He's one of the owners or the founder of SmartStartMN. And also, Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team. Rates are great. You need any help with a mortgage, you want to go to them. All the information will be there in a moment for you. Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Are you looking to buy your first home? Are you looking to buy your third home? The Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, with offices in Edina and Stillwater, is able to help you no matter what your situation, whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website, mnbankandtrust.com. That's mnbankandtrust.com, or call 952-841-9300. That's 952-841-9300. And contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started on financing your next home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. NMLS number 490-951. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its Ignition Interlock System. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated Ignition Interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's Ignition Interlock Program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to SmartStartMN.com. That's SmartStartMN.com. Or call 952-224-7050, 952-224-7050, and that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. We are back. We left talking about buffalo mozzarella. Oh, you could go for a pizza. All right, now, you guys, I've got my top three. Not just because they were an advertiser. I love Chanticleer pizza. It's terrific. I've had it, and I think it's terrific. I also, I'm a big fan. We talked about this, too. Sam gave me the book about pizza. Norm's Wayside out in Buffalo has Detroit-style pizza. It's the only place I know of around here that has it. That's terrific. And they may also make a good flat pizza also. They're what, 2 miles from where we are. So that's not a bad thing at all. And Cassetta's, Cassetta's was the first time I had a pizza in Minnesota, and this goes back decades, that I said, well, somebody could make a decent pizza here. Because the first time I bought a pizza in Minnesota, it was in Bloomington. I went there, and they didn't have pizza boxes. They put it in a bag.
Yeah, originally it was just kind of a spinoff of the grocery. It was Sally Mary or whatever. And then they just started doing more and more of the pizza. Now it's a giant colossus on 7th Street. But it all started with them. It was the Italian market first. And selling pizza on the side that was so popular in the mid-80s. I wasn't there till late 80s, but by then they already had a restaurant.
You know, Dave Cassetta's a great guy. He owns Cassetta's, and I've bitched at him about this. Whenever you go in to buy by the slice, they never have plain. He's always got he's got the sausage, he's got the pepperoni, he's got their junk pizza. And I said, anyone, if you walk in, everyone will eat plain pizza. Not everyone will eat the pepperoni or sausage. I don't believe in the bastardization of pizza. I just like mine plain. So where are your guys? What's your favorite pizza place? Jeff?
Well, we've got a little independent place out in Albertville where I live called Andy's Hometown Pizza. And let's say we may have an arrangement. I may look at a document or two once in a while, and I have a little discount there. But it's a really good little independent joint, and they've won some awards and things. And it's a nice little place. You have a place that you can, 2 minutes from your house. You can't beat that.
So, okay, so we're in Albertville, in case I'm out in that area.
Right north of the Outlet Mall on Conroe 19.
Oh, that's not far from us. I got to remember Andy's Hometown Pizza. How about you? If you like Fat Lorenzo, you mentioned that.
I'm going to rule out all the Chicago pizzas because that's a whole different kettle of fish, basically, and that would be primo. So I'm going to rule out Giordano's. In terms of traditional pizza in Twin Cities, my favorite is Fat Lorenzo's. South Minneapolis is also one in Bloomington, but I don't even think I've ever ordered from there. I've always gotten it from the restaurants. It's right by is it Cedar Lake Park or one of them? Fantastic sauce, giant chunks of tomato.
Sauce is key.
You're very generous with the toppings. Sometimes you'll occasionally get it a little overcooked if you get the sausage because they want to make sure you don't get sickness or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm looking out for the salmonella.
But a freshly made pepperoni. From Fat Lorenzo. Sometimes it doesn't even make it to the
They claim to make
Sometimes
themselves?
Sometimes it doesn't make it to the Cusick House. If there's enough boys in the
you
car,
pick it off.
It's eaten on the way home.
See, that's the only thing. It gets salty, but I could if there's no alternative, I could handle a pepperoni and rip the pepperoni off, give it to a kid, and then eat the cheese. And same thing with sausage. But the other stuff is too much. I don't like Canadian bacon at all. I don't like any of the other toppings.
And I'm not a big hamburger beef guy.
Ugh. It's not pizza.
Pepperoni and sausage. But important thing with sausage pizza, the sausage itself has to be good. I mean, because you can ruin a sausage pizza by having just
bad
a lousy
sausage.
Brand of sausage.
Now,
or too spicy. I don't really like the really spicy.
In Jersey and in New York, you will find it. And there's a place when I lived in Bradley Beach, New Jersey, that they weren't even called pizzerias. It was tomato pies. And years ago, the cheese did not start with pizza when it came to the United States. They would just put maybe some Parmesan on the top. Most of it was the tomato on the bread, like focaccia bread or just the bread. And then they started adding, once they discovered the beauty of mozzarella. What I want to make, though, I'm going to do this at home, Sam, sometime, a cheese curd pizza. Because I think melted cheese curds is phenomenal. You never see a cheese curd pizza. Think of it. You don't want to try it?
Can you give yourself a cheese
curd? That sounds like something you get at a state fair.
Not breaded, just
no,
the cheese curds
melted. No, he's
talking
like from Wisconsin, the real...
I think Wisconsin State Fair probably already has cheese curd pizza.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
You guys in? Draw out the papers. We'll give you a discount.
Sounds good.
I think it would sell.
You know what? We could team this up with one of your breweries.
There you go.
Cheese curd pizza with one of those beers.
Gotta have some meat.
Call Pug or the Liftbridge guy.
I've got a brew pub here downtown, Dayblock Brewing, and they have some funky different pizzas, and so we could talk to them. They've had a beef stroganoff pizza and a barbecued pork pizza.
You know what? We debuted during the state fair. Cheese curd pizza. But you, here's the difference. I'm a connoisseur of the cheese curd. You want more of the white, because the yellow cheese curds really get greasy. I like those, by the way, with chips. I put the, for those at home, take your cheese curds. You want more white than the yellow, because I think they're a little tastier. But you pop them in the microwave. A minute 45, they'll get nice and gooey. And then you get, like, any type of chip you like, you know, from the store, and use it at almost.
Gross.
You go reverse from, like, having the, what is that, the, what do they call the thing where they put the cheese all over the thing? Not the quesadilla. Sam, what is it?
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Well, you're putting cheese all over the tacos. Nachos. Nachos. Thank you.
There you go.
Couldn't come up with it.
Yeah, here's a better idea.
You use it the other way, though.
Dig a little deeper into the wallet, and instead of the cheese curds, do lumps of the buffalo mozzarella.
Yeah.
I'm doing cheese curds first.
They're almost like
curds.
Dollops.
How about this?
Dollops.
We do both. We mix the buffalo mozzarella with the cheese curd.
Or you just make cheese curds out of buffalo milk.
It's a little different, Sam. It's a little different.
You got to get the cooperation of the buffalo first.
Exactly. And we're not getting a buffalo.
Elsie, I want to turn your product into cheese curds. Then you might have a buffalo revolt.
Yeah, Sam's probably going to try it with her little goat milk thing.
Goats
are still a year away from
thing.
Producing milk.
My goat.
Now, it's very sad news the saddest news of the day, Gary Marshall's passing, who, by the way, I thought was much older than 81.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
He must have been around at a young age, you know, to be 81. I mean, he started with he was doing stuff before Happy Days, right?
He developed. He was the TV producer for The Odd Couple when they moved.
Oh, that's right. And he also
did
the Jack Parr show when it was the Tonight Show. He was a writer on that.
That was the early '60s. So, ballpark, he was probably his 20s then. But again, a lot of those guys from that generation started out on those shows. I mean, a lot of them. We're on your show of shows with Sid Caesar,
yep.
Jack Parr. Gary Marshall was a fellow Northwestern alum, and he was, like, in a lot of ways, one of the most prominent Northwestern alums in terms of, like, raising money for the school and stuff like that. He's given a lot of money to the school, whatever. And
well, he did Pretty Woman. He did Lost in America, which was terrific.
Lost in America, he should have got an Oscar for.
It was a small role, but it was a terrific role.
The scene where Albert Brooks is trying to get his money back, or his wife's money back, their nest egg.
The casino with a heart.
She took their nest egg into the Desert Inn and left it covered in yolk. The Desert Inn has heart. If you've never seen Lost in America, you have to.
Or look up that scene on YouTube.
It's actually on Netflix now. The whole Albert Brooks. He's only done seven movies where directed just seven. And Lost in America, the greatest of those. And Gary Marshall playing the head of the Desert Inn should have at least got Oscar consideration.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Just fantastic.
And, like I said, he did Pretty Woman, and he did, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley. He did The Odd Couple.
I think, sadly, you have to also give him credit for Joni Loves Chachi. So
that wasn't mentioned in his obit. They left that one out, shockingly. But he was a consultant on the latest Odd Couple.
But I think, like, 1977 and 78, before Three's Company took off, he had the two top shows on TV, Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley.
Well, you know what's interesting about – what was the other one he had then? He had Mork and Mindy,
right.
too.
Mork and Mindy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He – you know, him – and take a look at some of the TV – the guys who were basically there for the beginning of great sitcoms. Carl Reiner's still alive. Norman Lear is still alive.
It's amazing.
Reiner's 94, and Norman Lear is almost 100.
Probably up there, yeah.
There must be something about doing – TV work that keeps him young and alive.
Another little schmaltzier, but a very good thing that Gary Marshall did was Nothing in Common, which was the 1986.
Tom Hanks.
It was Jackie Gleason's last great film. Very good film. Again, I don't know if that's on Netflix, but that's worth looking up also.
If you can get Netflix, some of us can't.
But he was one of these guys that he was a great comedy writer to start. And then became like a producer and the whole thing there. But it started with the fact that you give him a sheet of paper and he could write something funny. And that's what made these guys great, is they were in and of themselves, they were able to create wit.
It's sad to me a little bit because Carl Reiner, I follow him on Twitter. He needs somebody to edit for him because some of it's just rambling, and some of it, he does not like Trump. But a lot of it is misspellings, and he then apologizes for the misspellings.
There should be a moratorium, like after you're 90. you should have like a guardian just to watch your social media interactions.
Or if you're 96 when you go and put stories in the newspaper or columns.
Yeah, I just think if I got to that age, I would just be complaining about my feed all the time.
Yeah.
No one needs to hear that.
Like Jackie Gleason did Nothing in Common.
That's right.
He had the bad feet. Now, I got a multi-billion dollar idea, Jeff, and you're the man who could help make these things happen.
Okay.
Why? Here's my question first. We live out in a rural area, and we have lousy. We have to get satellite internet. I pay over $100 a month, and my kids eat it up in a matter of days, and then we're down to DSL or dial-up. Why can you not go on your computer and get into a website with a, you know, with a password that will get you into the internet? Why has that not happened?
That was called AOL. I mean, that's what originally that's what it was
but
AOL.
You could get high speed internet
into the web, but it wasn't high speed.
But why can't you do it to make it high speed? So AOL,
technologically, maybe it's impossible to get that level of high speed through that maneuvering. There has to be some
that's
other
why
more
it's
direct
a billion
way.
Dollar idea if we can figure out a way to do it.
Okay, first you need to become an engineer.
That's why I'm throwing out the idea.
And then you might understand it.
Okay, you don't understand it.
No, I'm not an engineer.
Okay, well, then I'm asking questions. Let's find an engineer. You must be connected. You got brew pubs. You got pizza places. You got engineers.
Do you have brewmasters?
I might. I'll have to look at my Rolodex.
But wouldn't that be a great idea? Then you could, you know, I bet you the places like use that.
But you'd want it for free,
it.
Though. See,
well,
I
come up with the idea, that's all I want.
Well, if you come up with the idea to do that,
no
one
else has.
Are you going to give it away for free?
No, you patent it and then you license it to somebody
else.
Yeah,
see, that's why I got my attorney working on it here. I got my patent guy.
Is this why attorneys are much better to have as advisors than newspaper guys?
That's why, I mean,
you know what you do is you get the newspaper to write a story about it. Ooh.
And we do that. I mean, when you're talking about lawyering up, Michael Bryant, we got Ed Cohen, we got Marsh Hallberg, we got Jeff O'Brien.
It's like a virtual law firm.
Yeah, that's what's been doing great about doing this show is if I get in legal trouble now, I have options in the legal community.
Well, if you have trouble with insurance,
whether I do something illegally on the leisure side or on the more serious side.
Bradshaw and Bryant, if you get a DUI. You got Ed Cohen. If you happen to slit somebody's throat, you got Marsh Hallberg. And if you open a brew pub, and
just,
also you need any business and legal
if you just
leisure advice,
to slit
Jeff
somebody's
O'Brien.
Throat. That was OJ, wasn't it?
Yeah, he could have used that. Well, he did all right for himself. It didn't work out too bad. You know what? We got to see if he'll answer the phone today or if he's out saving more lives. Jim Rich from Fox 9 will be with us. Find out from him what the latest is. Let me ask both of you. Have either of you taken a tour of the new stadium?
No,
I haven't, because
I'm
in no great rush to get there.
No, I think I'm going to go. There's still tickets for the $40 range for the first exhibition game, which is the last Sunday in August. I think they're playing San Diego.
Yep.
But it's noon on a Sunday, and I have to put out the sports section Sunday night at 4:30. I have to be there at 4:30. So for me, I think the plan is to drop off the car in St. Paul, take light rail to the Viking Stadium for the noon game, sit in the seat for like a minute because it'll be a cheap seat, and just spend the day wandering around checking out the park.
Not a
and
bad
then
idea.
Getting back on the light rail and then putting out the evening news product.
Not a bad idea. Sam, do you get access to tickets as with the team you're on?
I don't know. I'm not just given tickets.
No, but you have access to them. You can buy them.
Yes.
You going to buy any to go?
Well, I can buy one for myself in a certain section. I don't know.
Oh, you won't take your dad?
There's no lump suite?
No. I don't have a lump suite.
All right, let's take a quick break. Come back with Jim Rich from Fox 9. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847. 5847 or visit their website at thomasbrandthomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea, and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping, and I'd keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota-made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501, 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer. And we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS Show, a BS Show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the BSblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes,
Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the loop now. Business and Leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien and Buffalo hero and Fox 9 sports director Jim Rich. So how many lives did you save yesterday on the lake?
Probably none.
What are you talking about?
They all had life jackets on. They were very smart. Just help them get back to shore. That's
okay,
all.
That's like, put it this way. If you blow off my show, you better have saved some lives.
Okay, well, there's, I think 23 is the number right now.
Good for you. So what were these kids doing? Were they on a catamaran, or what were they on? Were they boating? What were they doing?
They were sailboat, but, you know, there's that thing called the centerboard that you have to put in.
They didn't put
one. They found out why you didn't put that baby in. It goes over like nothing.
How old were these kids?
Oh, wow. Teens. Just bunking around, having fun, all of a sudden, whoops.
They forgot the
centerboard to shove her down the middle.
Did they have it with them?
No, it was on shore because they couldn't get out from shore with the centerboard in.
Oh,
they're learning how to sail.
Yeah, okay. Now I got to tell you a quick story. My son got a boat because he got it from a guy that he worked for, and it's an older boat, but it's a nice boat. First time he goes out, I said maybe I better go with you, and I just assumed because he knew what he was doing. So all of a sudden, I feel the back end tipping, and all of a sudden there's water in it. And I'm saying, Sawyer, did you put the plug in? Well, no, he didn't. He didn't know you had to put the plug in, even though he knew everything about boats. So I'm like hailing someone. He goes, "Don't call anybody." I said, "Sawyer, if we don't call anyone, we're going to be at the bottom of the lake." So they towed us in, and we, you know, once we pulled the thing out, the water drained out. We got it started up, and I said, "We got to make sure it runs okay." Fortunately, there was no damage to the engine, but it was a valuable lesson. That plug is in every time now. Probably a good idea that he learned then the importance of that little plug.
Yes. Surprising how those little details could come back to haunt you.
I would have been yelling for you. So was this on your lake or what lake was it? One of the lakes nearby? Okay.
Yeah, it was just on my lake.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing you were around to come to the rescue.
Yeah, I was waiting for your call, and all of a sudden I saw it go over, and they're all in the water, and I go, oh, I'll go out there and see if they need some help.
All right, well, that's an excused absence. Now, speaking of help, what can you do to help the Twins? You going to help them find a new GM?
Well, I think that your knowledge of baseball and mine together could equal or surpass the owner.
Yeah, that the restriction he put on that, that now maybe the new GM would want to keep Molitor, but you can't make that an absolute that he has to be the – because not only – okay, if he has to be the manager, that could mean he gets to decide who's going to be on his staff too. And clearly they have some issues with that staff.
Yeah, you know what? I don't see that as a big deal. I mean, it's only 1 year. So you're going to have a year to come in here and get your feet wet and figure out what's going on.
But there's no reason to do it.
No, but that's the way he wants to work. I mean, maybe he wants Molitor to stay and wants to make sure he doesn't lose him to somebody else. You know, I don't know. I don't know why he, you know, was so adamant in that. But in that off-camera session with Mr. Pohlad, he was non-negotiable on Molitor's status for next season.
Well, they are known for their loyalty to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think that Rob, and I like Rob Anthony, but I think he's going to wind up being the GM because he's going to make some moves here. And as Kevin Cusick pointed out, what's their record? They're two games above
they're
500 since when?
They're only two below 500 since, I think it's like May 20th. I mean, they've been almost a 500 team since hitting rock bottom. That's the glass half full interpretation.
I'll say it is.
But they could lose. They could lose a candidate who's already got in mind, you know, let's say one of these, the guys in Kansas City or whatever, if they already have their mind on who they want to bring with them when they become a general manager, you lose those candidates with these preconditions.
Well, and I think the other issue is, if I recall right, didn't they also say that, didn't Jim Pohlad say that whoever they hire as GM is going to be working under Dave St. Peter? So they got to keep the manager, and you're going to work for under the president, and not, I think they need to give the GM a degree of autonomy to handle the baseball operations.
Yeah. You're not going to get the next Theo Epstein with that many.
No, he's not going to wind up leaving Chicago.
No, but you're not going to get the next real star. Who's
I don't think Dave St. Peter is going to tell him no on trades and no on signing people. I think the problem is there's no upper management in that organization. It's Dave St. Peter and Jim Pohlad. There's nobody left now that Terry Ryan's not there because Ryan was the guy who decided everything. I'll never forget when he fired Gardy and we asked Jim Pohlad about it, what he thought of it. You know, we asked him, so Terry recommended you fire Gardy? Yes. And then it was asked, so if Terry said he didn't want to fire Gardy, would he still be the manager? Yes. So, I mean, he has no idea what to do. They need a special assistant to the owner, somebody that he can trust that can help him walk through this minefield. I mean, when somebody asked him about, you know, different organizations and, you know, have you looked at how other teams are set up, he goes, oh, yeah, I've looked through other teams' media guides and stuff. So, yeah, I'm pretty aware of that.
You know what will happen? He's going to name Terry Ryan his special assistant to the owner.
Well, maybe that's the way. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. He's going surface somewhere. If he wants to be in that organization, he certainly will have a job. I mean, Gardy's back in there. Bill Smith is still there.
Well,
nobody goes away in the Twins organization.
This is why I think Rob Anthony will become the full-time GM, because if they brought someone from the outside, there's a clean sweep, and I don't think Pohlad wants to see that. I mean, the one thing he seems to be is have loyalty to his employees.
I think there's a big difference between this and the dismissal of Gardy and other things. Their bottom line is getting crushed right now. They're down, they're going to be, what was it? They're down like 5,000 fans a game, I think it is. And when you multiply that out, that's millions of dollars.
And
all of a sudden, this team isn't the cash cow it once was when it moved into Target Field.
Yeah.
So I think he's ready to say, you know what? I don't know what the heck I'm doing. It's getting worse. We're almost to the point where we're actually going to lose money with this team. So now it's time to let somebody else run this thing for me.
Well, then he has to let them run it and not put restrictions on them and not have them answer. And I think the world of Dave St. Peter, but he does need to have that autonomy.
Well, I didn't hear that in there. Maybe that is true if he said he's going to answer to St. Peter or work with St. Peter. I don't know which one he said. It didn't jump out at me when I was sitting there when I heard it. I was more concerned with Molitor and that the number one characteristic he'd want to see in his future GM is that he's lovable.
He said that?
Yeah.
He said it.
He said he wants a GM that's lovable?
Yes, that was his number one requirement for his new GM.
Well, that was... Oh my God.
In some ways, the Twins are fortunate, again, with the ballpark, because could you imagine the play they've put together the last 4 years if they were in the Dome, what crowds they would have? I mean, they're still getting okay-sized crowds, much less than they were counting on when they built the park. But if this team was playing in the Metrodome, they'd be playing in front of, like, 10,000 fans a game.
Right. And here's the thing. I mean, their season ticket base is 14,000 right now. If they don't make the right hire, if they don't get someone in there that's going to, you know, show people that, you know what, we've got to change our minor league managers, we got to change our scouting staff, number one, that's probably been their biggest problem is, you know, you can't win with free agents in baseball. You still have to have some sort of farm system. And they've not been able to come up with any starting pitching that's, you know, Gibson's your best one so far of what's come around from the draft. So they've got to figure that out and start grabbing pitchers that, you know, can actually make it to the major leagues. But you see it when these youngsters are called up, they don't have a clue when they get here. I mean, Buxton doesn't know how to bunt. Sano doesn't know how to field. What have they been doing? They've been in the system for 5 years and you don't know the basics. I mean, that's the scary part of what's going on with this organization.
Well, isn't Bert kind of lovable? Maybe they can make him the GM.
He is. He circles everybody.
He's a
he
gas.
He can circle each player that makes an error.
Well, then he's going to run out of ink if it comes to watching third base and Sano. Yeah, there are so many issues with this team, and if you're coming in, basically you have a glut at DH.
That's never good.
Most of your team is DH, you know, or designated hitters.
They have a beer league softball team,
yeah,
basically.
Right. That's exactly what it is. They're what the Chicago White Sox used to be.
You've got, Sano should be a DH, right? Kendra should be a DH. You got Park, who's a DH. You got, I still don't know. I mean, there's
Vargas.
Vargas. You've also got a
Santana should just be shipped out someplace. He's made some of the most ridiculous both base running and fielding maneuvers the last week or two. That he's just.
But who wants some of these guys? I think the only guys that are marketable are Nunez as a utility infielder for someone, and Dozier, and I don't think even if he was a fraction of what they're paying him, I don't think Joe Mauer has a market because. You can't put him at first or DH. He doesn't have any power. And that's what you want from your first baseman in DH.
Come on, he just homered today, Bob.
Well, he's on fire then. I'm sorry.
He's got eight of them. What more do you want?
Good point. He's on pace for what, 14?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
Well, right. I think the biggest thing Rob Anthony is going to do is he's going to try to get rid of as much cash as possible. So the new GM comes in and has some money to work with. If he could deal Irvin Santana, if he could get anyone to take Nolasco off their hands, if they can get rid of Plouffe, you know, then they could start and give the guy some cash and some space to start fattening up. If he's really honestly going to change the direction of this team and turn the keys over to somebody else.
I'll tell you
what. I mean, if you hire Rob Anthony, you might as well have just left Terry Ryan in there because the kid has never learned a lick from anyone else other than Ryan.
Well, Billy Smith, he learned from him. Now,
that's true.
I'll tell you what, though, he gets rid of those three guys you mentioned. I'd give him the job because you just unloaded yourself some dead wood and dead salaries.
Right. I mean, so if there's some way he could get those guys moved, that would be a great step. Dozier, his contract's pretty good, so even though he may be marketable, I don't think you want a guy. I don't know if you trust Anthony to go find a prospect from somebody else for Dozier, or if you just make these trades at the winter meetings when you have your new GM in place, and then blow things up.
Well, something has to be done, and they're not in the same kind of, they're not in a great position the Vikings are. By the way, you've been to the stadium, right?
Yeah.
And you love it?
It's pretty remarkable. All the bells and whistles. I think there's so many clubs and places to go in there that no one's going to be in the seats. I think there's going to be like 30,000 people watching the game live.
It'll be like a Yankee game. Whenever you see it, there's no one sitting behind home plate.
Well, right, or the Champions Club. Even when the Champions Club full, three-quarters of in there are grazing on the side of beef that they got underneath the dugout.
Speaking of the grazing, did you go on days when there was grazing available? Because then your opinion is skewed because they fattened you up and you were drunk on the food, on the beef. Because every time it seems there's a media thing, there's a lot of food to be et.
Well, of course.
You notice
that. They know how to get us there.
Exactly, and keep you there and get happy results. All right. Jim, I hope you have a great day now. Is it, 95 now out in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's nice out. There's a good breeze. It's not bad. As long as you're not doing anything too physical, you're okay.
Well, just walking is too much for me in the heat. All right, we'll talk to you later. Jim Rich from Fox 9, thank you. We'll be right back. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, Ruth Lorden will be with us momentarily. Most of the time, you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw & Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. SmartStart MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a SmartStart Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The SmartStart Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a SmartStart system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. SmartStart now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring. And they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. We are back. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at The Loop Now. Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney, and psychic Ruth Lorden. Ruth Lorden, LORDAN.com, at Psychic Ruth. She'll be at the Medina Entertainment Center tonight. If you have it's a good night to be inside because it's going to be a hot one. It is already.
Air conditioning?
AC. Yeah, there's definitely air conditioning at the Medina, so that would be a good thing. Now, Ruth, let me ask you this. I want you to – you'll have to look down a little bit, but does Donald Trump Jr. have a career in politics? Because he did a pretty good job last night at the RNC with his speech, and a lot of people were excited about it.
Yeah, oh, he does, and he has a career in business. Let's just hope he doesn't become like a Bobby Kennedy and somebody shoots him. But he's always done things straight. And remember, his mother is an international Olympian.
Ivana?
Yeah, that's how he met her. She was on some Olympic ski team.
Oh, that's right. She was a skier.
Yeah.
So if you break, okay, he's got the three kids, Donald, Eric. Eric is kind of, I'm interested to hear him talk today because he strikes me as a bit of a goof. He's the one that's in charge
of family has one.
The philanthropic part of the family, which is where they all dumb people that can't do the business end. And Ivanka, who's supposed to be a superstar, too. And then the kid who spoke last night, Tiffany, is Marla Maples.
Yeah.
Kid. And then there's Baron, who's only like, 12?
Yeah.
And he's with Melania. So, but the first three have been, two of the three have shown themselves to be impressive. And Eric, like I said, I want to see Eric talk. He tries too hard to have his dad's hair.
Like that's something you should strive for.
Well, that hair is not a good thing to strive for. What I wonder, though, is why does Donald Jr. have the jet black hair? There's no jet black in Ivana, and Donald didn't have it. It must be.
Okay, you don't know what color Ivana's hair really is. Let's real here.
Well, Ivana, though, where was she from? He likes those Middle
Czechoslovakia.
He likes those Middle Europeans.
The former Eastern European, formerly known as Czechoslovakia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, you have no idea what color her hair actually is.
That's a good point there.
And it could come from anyone in the family.
Is Eric married? Because I don't know.
Yeah, he's married for a year and a half. He dated. He was on one of the shows last night. He and his girlfriend dated for they've known each other eight years, and he got married a year and a half ago.
I mean, they do have hair salons in New York where they dye people's hair.
Yeah, and he might have decided that he wanted to have black hair. Yeah, you don't
Donald
know.
Jr.? That could be. I don't know. I've got my questions. But anyway.
Way to focus on the big issues, Bob.
You know what? No one else is. Everyone's still. So many people still wrapped up with the Melania, somebody lifting. And as Kevin pointed, it was someone in Trump's organization who admitted to, to putting those lines in.
Yeah, I don't even think it was in the political organization. I think it was someone with the Trump companies.
It was, and she offered a resignation, and he said, no, people make mistakes. You know what? It's not a big deal, because and the media seems to avoid mentioning that the president did it. The vice president really did it, stealing entire speeches, and that Mrs. Obama may have done it.
Imitation is the best form of flattery, and first of all, it's respectful to her that we're still concerned, but it also points out the fact that we're still concerned with the same issues because in 8 years she couldn't do anything about them.
Well, but you're talking about Michelle. Well, Michelle Obama, I mean, she was just speaking about
respect
and integrity and, how she'd come.
At least she didn't plagiarize the part where Michelle said it was for the first time in her adult life she was proud to be an American.
Yeah, she didn't. Yeah,
yes.
didn't repeat that one.
Although it would ring truer for someone from Slovenia than it would for someone who grew up here.
Yeah.
So that one is that's a little interesting. Now, Ruth, we have a good vibe of the day.
Yes.
Good.
Long-term results await our efforts. Even differences of opinion are temporary setbacks and forgotten by the evening when real progress with relationships and team building begins. More magic today. Now, as the world learns to work it all out, we do too.
Good.
Considering the alternative is extinction, and only the crazed power-seeking druggies go there, we will all come together and live.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Now, tonight is a special night at the Medina because, as you know, Robert, the founder, passed. I just came from his funeral at Holy Name and the burial.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah, he was 90, and the place was packed. So this will be like a celebration.
Okay, and Medina on 55.
For listeners, if you didn't know, everybody that ever went there, Bob that started Medina, and Medina will be 60 years old this fall.
And he was there a lot, right?
He booked all the original bands, was the man who booked Garth Brooks and all kinds of things. He was there. He treated everybody, didn't matter who you were, treated you right. And he made that place. He built it. It was a pillar of the community. Raskob Drive is now Holy Name Drive. That was their church. They basically kept that going, too. They were very religious. They're stalwarts in that community.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that he passed, but you mentioned, there will be a celebration then.
Well, it's an informal one. It's going on. But as I say, he was 90, and lots of people will be stopping in.
All right, and you'll be there starting at 6.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you, Ruth. RuthLorden.com at Psychic Ruth. Thank you to Kevin Cusick, The Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com at The Loop Now. Thank you, for the top 10 last week for the one-year anniversary. It was very good.
That can be found on a week ago from now. This is
a week ago. Wednesday.
On that post.
Yeah, just on the Bob blog. It is not Pioneer Press. material. It is a Bob exclusive.
That's why we love it so much.
Very special.
And it's at least 51 weeks till the next one.
Thank you to business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, who he's going to get in the weeks ahead. We'll have Ed White, who we talked off the air. Chuck Foreman said he wept when he heard that he had been traded from the Vikings back in the 70s. One of the best. Well, I will say this. The best guard not in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand why. And he's an old-timer now. I mean, he would have to go to the old-timers committee or
correct.
The senior.
Yep. Yep.
He absolutely deserves to get in. Why he never did is beyond me. Because he helped two teams become awfully good, the Vikings and the Chargers. Thank you, by the way, to everyone listening. If you're in the Minnesota area, well, anywhere you are, it's really hot. So be careful out there with the heat. Make sure you stay hydrated. There's my tip of the day. And if you happen to beat me to it with the cheese curd pizza, let me know what it tasted like. We'll talk to you later. I just got to tell you.